All right. Good evening, everybody. Good to see you. Let's see here. And we'll go ahead and dismiss the children. All two of you. Here we are to veracity number 14. Moving right along. I just wanted to remind everybody to pray for, we have a few people that got contact with or close to the tornado anyways, and they have the power out and various things. I think Chad told me he's staying in a hotel tonight, so he's been out a couple nights, and Dawn as well, and I know there's other people, I just haven't heard of them. Brenda, that's right, Brenda's staying at your house. Yeah, there's another one. That's good. That's good. Thank God, right? So there you go. So just pray for, you know, that comes along nicely and we can get through it. And God will do what he always does, right? We'll watch him work and just kind of sit back. Okay. 8:30. Okay. Well, there you go. Maybe might be tonight. Okay. So, here we are, Essence of God, and before we get going, let's take a minute of silent prayer. It just means we can get in gear by confessing or acknowledging our sins before God the Father, and he will then graciously cleanse and forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so let's go ahead and take a moment, and we'll get going. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this night. Thank you for your grace. Each and every day we wake up and we may not realize it, but it's always there. And we just pray we can continue to see the clearness in your plan that you have for our lives. And we just thank you for the message. Thank you for the word. And we ask everything in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are, veracity number 14. And I think what we saw last Sunday is that God makes truth very, very available, readily available for us to see, to receive, and to take in the word so we can get on the plan, which is wisdom, as we're seeing. It comes through wisdom. And it's one of those things that he gives us. He gives us the ability to think and see his plan in our lives. And that's huge, right? That's what we need to move forward in the plan of God is wisdom. And I'll tell you, the only way to do that is with it. And, you know, God wants us to do things his way. And he's given us the ability to do that, which is encouraging, you know, for us as believers in Jesus Christ. So wisdom is what we've been talking about. And it also requires us to walk in it. We saw that concept on Sunday. It does require some walking out of you. So we do have to exercise in the spiritual life. And that simply means that God has plenty of things for you to do. Plenty of things to test you with, to grow you spiritually. And it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Because it's really the only way we do grow. God stretches us just to that point to where we need his help, and he knows that and realizes that. But at the same time, sometimes we don't necessarily reach for his help. So I think wisdom is showing us that the more we do that, the better we are, at least in a position to apply his word on a daily basis. So there's some big concepts there that we saw. And I think that was really what part of being a doer of the word is all about. If you're thinking, or let's start with learning. If you're learning, hearing, receiving, remember all those key words there, thinking with the word, it's naturally going to be a reality in the way you deal with people. Because if you're thinking the word, you have wisdom, you're moving forward, and your associations and your life is a reflection of God. And that's what he wants us to be in the image of, right? His image, we're his creation. And so he wants us to be that reflection of light into the world. And that's what we, I hope, aim to do, or at least have a desire to do. So that's where we all want to be. And I think that's where we're the most happy, the most content. It's where we find the most satisfaction. So it's really beneficial, right? I shouldn't have to talk you into that, but sometimes we need that too, because the world kind of tends to pull on our strings in a certain way, where we need that at least encouragement to see that this is really what God says it is. So, and that has everything to do, I think wisdom has everything to do with your capacity, honestly. I hadn't really gotten off too much into capacity, but I think as a Christian, the exciting part of looking forward in your life is realizing that you will be able to handle more, and that God is going to give you more. And that's, to me, that's exciting, because, you know, things don't stay the same. God knows you're growing progressively in the plan of His plan, and He's going to accommodate that with blessings, as we'll see maybe tonight. And so, but it all has to do with wisdom, right? How much do we apply? How much do we actually use in this day-to-day life? So good things happen through taking part in the full process, from where you're at now to the life that you live on the outside. And you know, I feel like we put all the emphasis here. I feel like we kind of lose some of the emphasis on the walking aspect. You know, we know that we're supposed to show up and learn the word, right? That's ingrained in us, I feel. That's part of who we are. We just know we got to receive the word. As long as I was there and I learned something, and maybe you took some notes, that's good. That is good. That's part of it. But really, I can't say there should be more of an emphasis, because this is critical. But there should be the same amount of emphasis placed on when we leave here, because we have to do something with it, right? And if we don't do anything with the word, you know, that it loses its value as far as glorifying God, the spiritual value, and also that part of you growing spiritually takes that other step of applying, application. So we have to begin to see this as important, but also see the outside of the doors as just as important. Because, you know, we kind of get our guard down when we leave. The spiritual life here, but then we get off track, and it's easy to. And I understand that, but it shouldn't be as easy as it is in our minds, at least. There is that responsibility, and I think God holds us to that. You know, He realizes you're faithful. He realizes you're growing. He understands that, and He wants to do something with it. So there's always good things ahead of us. We just have to remember that there's an emphasis that has to be placed on the full process. So, and the point was on Sunday was that we do that so we can prove yourselves, or prove yourself as a doer, right? That's, what the whole point is. Not a hypocrite, right? Hypocrite is just says one thing, does another type of deal. When it comes to the spiritual life, that's what we don't want to be. We want to be a genuine Christian, and the only way I can explain that is to do what we've just been talking about, is to actually live that life that God has chosen. So we're on this earth as a testimony. I think that's part of the proof of the witness that you're on. You're on the stand in Satan's world as a witness to the fallen, to Satan, to the fallen angels, to all of evil in this world. We have God's righteousness in us, and we're here to prove that God's word works in your life. That's the proof. That's where it is. It's one thing to be in the pages of Scripture, right? But it's another thing to see someone has taken it and is actually applying it. Not necessarily in a hypocritical way, as I just mentioned, but applying it in humility, as the Lord Jesus Christ did, and we can see that on this earth. Dealing with people in humility, not necessarily the ones we want to deal with it in, but dealing with it consistently across the board and applying these things so we can actually prove it, that it works, not just with some, but with all. And I think that is very, very true, and God shows us that over and over. Now, the problem we come into sometimes is we see our failings and shortcomings with different individuals as far as the testings go. But that's okay. It doesn't water down the word at all. It just shows us, it gives us visibility into the weaknesses of our own personal self, right? This is an area that I need to work on, or this is a type of person that I need to work more with. Well, that's why it's there. That's why God has pushed this test into your life, because He knows, hey, they're learning about wisdom. Let's see them apply it now. So that's the process. And it's very, very individual, and it's very, very personal in nature. I know I say that a lot, that the Christian life is a personal relationship, and it is. But you can see how really personal it is when you begin to see all these things are up to us as people, as individuals, to do these things, to move forward in a way that is pleasing. Because, you know, a lot of times we deal with people on a one-on-one basis. On a one-on-one basis, there's no one else around to necessarily keep us on our toes, or a Christian friend to necessarily see and give you advice. You're standing alone on your own, and these things are having to be made decisions rightly and righteously before God. And so that's where I think the action takes place, is in your own personal lives. And all these things are what wisdom is bringing up. So, and Solomon, you remember, he calls wisdom a her. And I never showed you that, but there's actually that started in verses 1 through 3. You can see where he mentions all the hers and the she's and the talking about wisdom. He says, does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice? On top of the heights beside the way where the path meets, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, at the opening to the city, at the entrance of the doors, she cries out. So you can see that where we're getting this, I promise I wasn't making it up. And I don't know if any of you ladies went home and rubbed that in your husband's face, that it is a woman, or at least it's in the feminine voice. So here we are to Proverbs 7 is where we left off. And I'll go ahead and read it. It says, "For my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips." Remember, first person is wisdom speaking about herself. This is what she's saying. And of course, here's our word, right? Lo and behold, truth. What do you know? We've been studying truth, and here's our word. This is actually one of the words, a major Hebrew word for truth. This is one. It's MF. You can see it. The transliteration there, it's a noun. Of course, it means truth. But look what else it means. It means, it also means trustworthy, or trustworthiness, faithfulness, and firmness. And that's interesting, because that's what truth is for us. It's firm. It's to the point, right? It's very trustworthy. It's absolutely trustworthy. It is always faithful to us. It's not when it fails, it's not from God's side. It's always from our side, right? The faithfulness of God's word and His wisdom in us is faithful 100% of the time. And that doesn't apply to not getting an answer to a prayer that we expected. I'm not referring to that. I'm referring to the spiritual life and actually living and applying and dealing with certain things and passing tests in your life. It's very, very consistent. So, faithfulness of truth is a good thing, because it's always reliable. We can count on it 100% of the time. Not just sometimes, all the time. And I know as we go down this road, I talk about wisdom as if it's not connected to God, kind of. But wisdom is from God, right? And if wisdom is from God, we're studying God's word, we know these things are connected, but wisdom is something that God has given us the ability to have and to think with as well. So if wisdom is thinking this, God is thinking this as well. It's His Word. And if these are thinking this, guess what? So are we. We should have the same type of thoughts, the same type of feelings, the same type of production that we'll see later on in the verse. And so these things are all interconnected. You are a child of God. He's given you the capability to grow in His plan. You're the body of Christ, right? So wisdom inside you, that's an important thing to think about. So these are the Word of God. And then on the flip side, you see what the verse says? And wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Now, that makes sense, right? Wisdom hates sin, guilt, wrongdoing, and wickedness. All these ideas fall under this word, wickedness. All those ideas. So you can see truth, wisdom. As we move forward in the plan of God, even though we fail and we sin, we begin to take on the attitude of disliking these things as well. That's what growing in righteousness means. We begin to dislike the things that we see that are unrighteous and the things that are not right in the Christian way of life and even our own lives. And that's how we can make corrections, because even though we sin, we can look at these things and say, you know what? I recognize it and I don't like it. I don't like doing it and I don't like its results, and therefore I can correct. And that's the beauty of a self-correcting, the aspect of self-correcting in the Christian life, right? So it's a beautiful thing, and we'll see that more and more as we move forward in the plan of God. So that's a big deal. So God speaks truth, and sin and evil are pollution or an abomination to Him. So it's easy to understand, right? So here's this word, abomination. It can mean detestable. It can mean disgusting. That's always a word you might hear from on a playground. Disgusting, right? Kids seem to like that word. Now, there's a major difference from indulging in sin and feeling disgusted by it. There's a difference there, right? We know there's a big difference, is we can see something as wrong and we don't like it, and then versus committing a sin. There's a big difference, right? There's a gap there. So you can see the difference that the after effects are never good. And we know that is a reality in our life because we experience that when we do commit sin. And here's Proverbs 8. It says, all the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. So God's word isn't like reading any other theological book. It's not. Any other theological book, you will find yourself picking out truth and putting aside the false, right? God's word isn't like that. Every single bit of it is truth. Your little blinkers won't turn on and say, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. It may not sound right to you, but we know it's the word of God. We do know that, and we can say for certain that this is truth. I may not necessarily understand what it's saying. Now, that's okay. But the good thing is we don't have to push it aside as something that's false. So, but that's relaxing in my mind to know that God's word says or does what it says, and He gives us the pure, unfiltered, raw, not honey, but truth. Truth. The truth of the word. So, that's a good thing, right? Verse 9, it says they are all straightforward to Him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. They are all straightforward to Him who understands. Now, I think they is pointing back at these utterances. See this? All the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. That's what they is referring to. everything that wisdom has to say, the Word of God has to tell us, as far as thought process, as far as your decisions you make. And when you think about wisdom, think about divine guidance. Isn't that what it is in your own life, as far as God leading you to the right direction, down the right path? It doesn't just happen because we show up. It happens because these words have become a reality in your soul. And therefore, God is guiding you down the right path through wisdom, through His wisdom. Remember, that's a big deal about the Christian way of life. It's not something that we can come up with on our own. These things are from God, and therefore He guides us from His own thought process, which is through the Holy Spirit, right? So they, you can understand, it's pointing back. And since wisdom is doing the will of God, I think that's a good short definition for wisdom. It's actually doing the will of God. Not hearing it, not just seeing it, but doing it. It's following His divine procedures that we find in His Word and taking those into our thinking and lives. All these things are coming into play. So if wisdom is speaking to you, as what it said in the last verse, the utterances of wisdom, if it's speaking to you, then this is a reference to divine guidance, which means discernment. This is your discernment. This is your ability that the Word of God gives you to see spiritually, right? To think differently than, let's say, the non-Christian. To make decisions that are different from someone else that has no wisdom. So discernment is key, and wisdom gives us discernment. That's what it does. That's exactly what it does. So I'm not saying that we will have all the answers at all. I'm not saying that. But you will have the discernment necessary to not get out of or get distracted from God's will and plan for your life. God gives us that ability. There's a lot of things that are going to come into your life, and you're going to have to make a decision about it. Many of those things can distract us. They can get us off track. They can remove us from the plan. But before that happens, we always have to make a decision about it. And God gives us the discernment to see whether we should or should not be doing something. I'm not saying it's even a bad thing. It could be an okay thing. It could be a great thing. But see, discernment takes priority on God's plan for your life. So that's a good thing, right? Because at least we can see and understand, okay, should I be doing this or should I not be doing this? Because there's so many things that you can easily get into, and all of a sudden, before you know it, you look around and the plan of God and your spiritual life is number two. That's not what we want. Number two is very easy. Remember, it's right after one. It's very easy to put the plan of God in your spiritual life number two. Easy. Very subtle. It's a subtle thing. It happens just like that by making that decision. Okay, I'll do this. I'll accept this. I'll hang out with you. I'll go here and do that. We're the ones that have to see there's certain things we should and certain things we shouldn't do. And wisdom, I feel, gives us that. Definitely. That's that discernment, right? So, and all these insights that wisdom does give us, the positive believer, I say positive believer, it says considers these things straight, upright, correct, and righteous, as the verse is pointing out. And right to those who find knowledge. See, that's why I said positive believer. The believer that is eager for truth. Because guess what? There's something wrapped up in that word to find. That means you have to actually seek. You have to do something. To find actually means to look. But when you think about finding knowledge, as far as the truth is concerned, it is a journey. It's a journey. We can all we all know, we've all seen it, we've all experienced it, that finding truth is a journey in our lives. And I'm not just talking about a church. I'm talking about day to day finding truth, even in the world, can be elusive. So, you know, these things take an effort by the believer to be positive. And I think the big deal in that is just having a desire to know the truth. Not being comfortable or being set in our ways where we can sit and listen to something that is half truth. That's what God doesn't want. He wants to give us His unadulterated word, pure, clean as we can get it, right? So that's why I think I can say positive believer, because it says those who are, those things are straight to him who understands or discerns. And remember, discerning is a process. If you can understand, if you can give some sound spiritual advice to a friend, you're a positive believer. Because that takes to have something in your soul, number one, to be able to produce and give that, number two. So you've got to be faithful if you can even have something to give in that department, right? So that's the reason why I say positive believer. It doesn't just say the one who hears. It says the one who understands, are straightforward and right to those who find knowledge. Now remember, the word understands, as we've seen before in our context, it means a doer of the word, right? It doesn't just mean, okay, yeah, I got that. I can follow the dots and I understand that. It doesn't stop there. That goes from the ears to the soul to your life. There's a process, right? It goes outside the doors. We can't just leave it here, or we really don't understand, at least in a biblical sense, right? So, of course, this isn't just any knowledge, right? We know that. Well, it says, well, someone could say, well, it does say to those who find knowledge. But we know that this is a very specific knowledge. It's knowledge from God to us. That's what it is. And that's one of the things I think that the unbelieving world doesn't understand, right? Because that this is wisdom directly from God to the individual person as a believer. So, which is different from anything the human mind can come up with. The human on his own cannot come up with these things that God can give us and we can think with. And that's what separates the unbeliever from the believer. God's thoughts, no God in his life, no belief in God. That's the difference, right? No capability to grow spiritually because he hasn't accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. But once that point has passed, faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, guess what? Capable of receiving, thinking, living the plan of God. So, I mean, just look around. I always say there is a lot of very, very, very smart people that were smart on this earth that are in hell today, unfortunately. And that's not a good thing. And I'm just pointing out to you that human smarts, human intelligence, all these things that we see in the world is not enough to do what God wants us to do and to think the way God wants us to think. Very important concept. There's a lot of people, you know, I think the best way to describe it is to just look at examples around you. Right. I always think of Stephen Hawking when I think of someone that was very, 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 very smart. Right. And he was an unbeliever. He was an unbeliever. And I found this, just some information about him. And I just want to hear I wanted you to listen what he had to say, I guess, about life, you could say. It said Hawking was an atheist. In an interview published in The Guardian, Hawking regarded the brain as a computer which will stop working when its components fail, and the concept of an afterlife as a fairy story for people afraid of the dark. In 2011, narrating the first episode of the American television series Curiosity, on the Discovery Channel, Hawking noted or declared, we are each free to believe what we want, and it is my view that the simplest explanation is there is no God. No one created the universe, and no one directs our fate. This leads me to a profound realization. There is probably no heaven, and no afterlife either. We have this one life to appreciate the grand design of the universe, and for that, I am extremely grateful. So, you can understand that there is a lot of smart people, humanly speaking, that are not capable of understanding spiritual things, right? I think that's an easy thing to see and understand. When man rejects God's offer of salvation, guess what? You're left with the same spiritually dead person as before they rejected. Same exact person. Nothing is added spiritually when you reject the offer of the gospel message. That's the solution, right? That's the solution to his problems. What did he say? Here to enjoy it, and once it's gone, that's it. There's a solution to that. It's called eternal life. That's what God offers us, and the reason he offers it to us is because he's a genius. He's a spiritual genius. And he thought of that for us, and he wanted to be with us forever. That's a long time. That is a long time to spend a relationship with somebody that starts when you became a believer in Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? So, in our minds, it's very simple, right? That's the simplicity of the Word. That's the simplicity of God's mind coming through to your mind. So, I don't think we should make it complicated because God doesn't either. It's not rocket science, right? So, anyways, I just wanted to read that to you because I think it gives you an insight into the failure of the human, capabilities. What we're capable of and what's in our power to do is not enough to meet God's standards, number one, and it's not enough to be a part of his plan without accepting his son as personal Lord and Savior. Can't do it. We'll never do it. So, and sin always overtakes any human or any good human qualities that we have. Without God in your life, without being regenerated, a born-again believer, sin will overtake any good human quality that we have every time. God will either expound and make something better in your life, or you can make that good quality worse through some type of sin that is overtaking us, or we keep failing to, right? So the only way to do that is what? Be born again. Be a Christian. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's why the scripture always talks about being a new creature, because you need to be a new creature, because you have to understand new things that are foreign concepts to you before you became a new creature. You couldn't understand them before, but now you can. Now you can. And actually, there's a verse about that, isn't there? 1 Corinthians 2:14. Everything that I've been talking about. But a natural man, that's an unbeliever, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Doesn't do it. Can't do it. It's impossible. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. You see who it takes? It doesn't take us. It takes the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what teaches. Actually, the Holy Spirit is what indwells from the point of your salvation, which gives us the ability to even learn anything as far as the Word of God, because the Holy Spirit teaches us. And that's how we can learn successfully. Without the Holy Spirit, guess what? There is no learning. There is no learning wisdom. There is no living the plan of God. There is no doing any of that, because we have to at least accept God's ways and acknowledge that he has certain things set up so we can walk in them, right? So, you can understand why wisdom is only understandable to believers. But, you know, when I say that, it sounds very like, you know, we're cutting off people. And I hope you understand that God does not make this stuff inaccessible. He doesn't make it hard to get to. He makes it actually just the opposite, right? He makes it readily available. This gentleman that I was just talking about earlier, Steve, readily available to him. It was wide open. We have to choose to make that decision, right? Scripture is very clear that God died for the whole world. The whole world. Not just some, not just this side and not this side, right? He died for the whole world. And then he turned around and offered that salvation to everybody. So there's always an offer. I don't care what people have done. You know, you always come across the person who said, well, I've done this and this and this. There's no way God would let me into heaven. Well, according to this verse, yes, there is. All those this, this, and this were paid for on that cross. So there's nothing that you can do, no matter how many times you did it. It doesn't matter. God is a forgiving God, and he forgave sin positionally. So just so we can be a part of his family. So we have to understand that it's available to all, because if we don't, guess what kind of witness you'll be? Not a very good one. We have to be able to witness to people that don't even need to be or are acting like they need to be witnessed to. Everybody needs to be a believer. That's the reality. Just because they're acting a certain way or doing a certain thing, that doesn't mean anything. We have to be open and be available in our lives to be able to minister to people in a way that is leading them down this road, right? It's available to everybody. I think we should reflect that in our life as well. So, and here we are to Proverbs 8:10. It says, take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choicest gold. Verse 11 says, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. So let's take the first verse there, take. The word there just means to take or to receive or to accept. That's what the word means. Pretty basic, right? Just take it. Take it. Take my instruction. And then it does kind of there's a comparison there. It's and not silver. So you can see what the verse is now. You see where it's going, right? It's kind of talking about things that we have to make a decision between. It's telling us what not to choose and what to choose. Now, if you read through the verse, you can clearly see that it's talking about worldly things that are very, very valuable versus wisdom, the spiritual things, versus what God wants us to choose, number one, and then make a decision on whether we should choose, number two. But see, what this verse is saying, that at least this top sentence, is take my instruction and not silver, and not silver. At least right here on the first sentence, right? So there's a choice being at least noticed and made that we have to make. Either we can take the instruction or take the things that the world offers us. Always, that is always a huge decision-making process that you have to make as a believer. Either take the things from God's word and his wisdom, or take the things of the world. That's the comparison in these few verses here. Because as you well know, as we just talked about, taking some of these things, choosing some of these things can take us away from the plan of God, pull us away. We can get distracted very easily by getting steered away by choosing the wrong thing. And that's why this word take is a command. You know, it's interesting. God always knows when we need a command. He always knows right when we need a command. So this is what he throws it in. He says, just don't do this. He says, just take this and not this. So it's clear right there. Take this and not this. And this is of something that's valuable. This is something that everyone desires. I mean, we could say today, just money. We could say money. Isn't that a test for everybody? Money. You know how many decisions you make around money? A lot. A lot. Some of it, it's your job, right? But I'm talking about personal lives. There's decisions every day that we have to make around money. Now, we could easily choose the money over the instruction. Easily, very easily. See how quickly that priority number one can get placed as number two? Money. So that's why it's in the imperative mood. It's saying just don't do that and do this. You know, God knows we have a tendency to choose the world and our own desires quite a bit. He knows we have a sin nature and he knows we're pulled in that direction to choose that. That's why he gives the command. He slides commands in when they're necessary. This is one of those places. It's necessary. We need to hear the fact that, hey, we're not supposed to do that. I needed to hear that. You need to hear that, right? We do. And as always, the command is much needed for our own what? Why is a command here? For your spiritual health and for your physical health. When we choose the second option, those two areas are always affected. Physical and spiritual health. Always. So there's a need here for the command. I'm not saying you wouldn't have a good time for a day or a week or a month. What I'm telling you is you will be negatively affected spiritually and physically. Because guess what? That happiness is fleeting. Fleeting. So what are we to take? It says instruction. It says instruction. Well, that's the way I see the Word of God. Take my instruction, referring to wisdom. Take the instruction. The word means correction, even sometimes discipline, which, okay, we get that. We get that because isn't that what truth does for us or does to us? It always gives us the best path to go. That's what wisdom does for us. It gives us the best possible path, what direction we should go. It does that. But we get it through instruction. The Word of God always instructs us to give us the best option. That's a good way to put it, right? It gives us the corrections we need to make in our own lives to live in a way that's pleasing to God. That's what it does. It gives us these course corrections that we know we need to make. But look what it's all dependent on. If we choose to follow the instruction. If we choose to follow that instruction. And if we don't, guess what? Divine discipline. So the word means correction, instruction, and discipline. The Word of God does all those things for us. When we receive wisdom, we know almost inherently that we're going to receive some discipline when we have not chosen for the Word. When we have not chosen for God's wisdom, we have not made the right decision, we can almost expect some discipline. And that's just part of being a Christian. At least if you're growing, right? So, but this verse is telling us wisdom is better than the most flashy, the most expensive things that the world sees as more valuable than wisdom. That's what it's telling you. It's saying most of the people see these things as the desirable things. And that's why it's picking them out. Think about the day and the age in which this was written. These are the top dogs. Silver, gold, and jewels. May not be today, but it was here, right? Monetary things. Things that have value as far as being able, hey, this is money to them, right? We're thinking paper, gold. So just apply it to your day and age. Whatever is most expensive, most valuable, most desirable in your mind, plug it in here. That's what we have to choose to follow, we have to choose to follow instruction over those things. Because there's a lot of things, and that's custom, right, for each individual person. Some of you, that doesn't necessarily float your boat, but this does. That does. Other things don't. So here we are, and the reason I can say this verse is making a comparison between the worldly very desirable things in wisdom is because the little bitty comparative preposition here translated rather. You see that? And knowledge rather than choicest gold. In other words, the best, the finest, the purest gold you can ever find, which is the most valuable, is what that is, right? The purest one there is. The word rather is showing us that there's a comparison. And it's showing you what's better or more valuable than all these other things that are valuable to many people. And they are to us, right? But we know that there's only a certain level of value that they can attain. At least they can't get to the spiritual level. There is no value in the spiritual realm as far as worldly things are concerned. So the other reason I can say this is a comparison. See where it says knowledge rather than the choicest gold? Actually, I just told you that, right? But you can clearly see why this is a command. We struggle with these things daily, if not weekly. We struggle with these things, pulling at your strings. And then here we kind of have a concluding thought in Proverbs 8:11. It says, for wisdom is better than jewels. It's kind of summing it all up. Wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. There she is again, wisdom, her. That's who her is right here. So the idea here is to just show us that there's only one option. There really is only one option. And that option outweighs everything that the world can throw at you, everything that may seem like, you know, if I could only have, if I can only do, I would be happy. Right? This is what the verse is telling us. There's only one thing that could do that for us. There's only one thing that rises to the top and can fulfill you in a way that you truly desire to be fulfilled. It can only come from the word, wisdom in your soul. That's it. So it's no longer making a comparison here. It's just stating a fact at this point. It's just showing, you notice how it wrapped it all up? It's just saying, hey, nothing can compare. This is it. That's it. There's no comparison when we truly understand where the real value is. And that's what this is all about, isn't it? Understanding where real value is in this life. Because guess what truth tells us? Truth tells us that the value isn't in the worldly things, it's in wisdom, right? And the reality of that is much more deeper than that, because wisdom is what gives you the capacity to have the worldly things. So see, it's just the opposite of what the world will tell you. So if we seek wisdom, we'll be able to handle the blessings that God gives us that are in the world. Just the opposite. See how Satan likes to flip that and says, go and seek the worldly things. Seek the gold, seek the silver. That's what everybody's doing right now. But they don't have the capacity to handle it. They don't have a spiritual life to glorify God with that money. Or whatever they have, with that career, with that position. And guess what that turns into? A source of misery. A source of misery. The one thing that they thought was going to fulfill them to no end, if I just got here, this would be it. That's the pinnacle, and they're there, and it's causing them misery. If we're going to do anything in the plan of God, we've got to realize what these verses are saying. There's only one thing, and nothing else can compare to that. That's God's way, right? His way for our lives. So that's the concluding thought. And that's exactly what the next phrase says here in Proverbs 8:12, or at least it continues the thought. And I mentioned that the word desirable here means the things which you take delight in or desire the most. And I don't want you to get this confused about some things that you may not struggle with, because we all have those. I want you to focus on the things that sometimes can lead you off the path of the one that God has shown you or that wants you to go down. So whatever it is on the top of your list, that's the one you need to think about. So anyways, I think here we are to the next verse, and I'll read this verse, but then we'll stop and we'll pick this note up when we come back. This is verse 12. It says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. So you can see that discretion is a little interesting there, considering the meaning. And there's a lot there, and I guess we can study that next time when we get back. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for keeping us grounded. Thank you for keeping us in tune. Thank you for keeping us close to you and in a personal relationship, because that's what this is about. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who you sent to this earth, and to provide our salvation, and then to offer it to us through faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You. All right.